More on that a little bit later on. Why don't we talk college football? We are joined by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is an expert at SI Eats. He is the busiest man at the intersection of sports and cuisine. There is nobody like this guy. Andy Staples is my guest. Andy, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you doing great or just good?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's Friday. It's a big college football weekend coming up. We've got two top 10 matchups tomorrow. Couldn't be better.
Good. That's what I'm talking about. I knew it. All right, Andy, before we get into that, let me get to you about the Clemson situation. You've got Kelly Bryant, who announced this week that he intended to transfer from Clemson after Trevor Lawrence was named the starting quarterback. First off, what do you make of Dabo Swinney's decision to name Lawrence the starter?
Well, I think it was he just decided the upside was higher and that they were close enough that you go with the guy that's giving you higher upside for a longer time. I mean, he had to make this decision a few years ago with Cole Stout and Deshaun Watson, and he actually made it too late. If he'd gone to Watson a little bit earlier, they'd have won the ACC that year. So it's one of those deals where you kind of have to walk a fine line, but then you've got this new redshirt rule that says if you play four or fewer games in a season, you can redshirt. So I think even though Dabo says it didn't have anything to do with it, I'm betting it did, that after game four, he decided to make Lawrence the starter, which allowed Bryant to make a choice of, do I want to stay and play the rest of my senior season at Clemson, or do I want to go play somewhere next year? Because if he doesn't play another down this season, he can play next year. And you know, people have criticized Dabo Swinney for this decision, but I actually think he was giving Kelly Bryant as many options as humanly possible by making it when he did.
Andy Staples, my guest. All right, so Bryant goes 12-2 as a starter last year. Did he deserve better than what he got, or is this pretty much how sports and how life work?
It's exactly how sports and life work. You play the best person. There's always somebody younger and maybe better coming after your spot. And Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys who we may be talking about in 2.5 years as a potential number one overall pick in the NFL draft. His arm talent is that good. Kelly Bryant is a very good quarterback. It just may be that he's not a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. Just like at Alabama, Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. He's not a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. So it's one of those lessons that we all learn at some point. I mean, at some point there will be a sports writer at Sports Illustrated who covers college football who is better than me, and they'll say, Andy, we don't need you anymore because this person's just better.
No, that's never going to happen. Yeah, that's garbage. You know that'll never happen. I know that'll never happen. Andy Staples, my guest. Now, listen, it's a point very well taken. I'm glad you mentioned Jalen Hurts because he finds himself, Andy, in a similar situation at Alabama, but he has not transferred. Why do you think that is?
Well, he's a junior. I think that's the biggest piece of this is Kelly Bryant's a senior and Jalen Hurts is a junior. So Jalen Hurts can finish out this year at Alabama and still, if he wants to transfer and be a starter somewhere else, he can do that. He can do that next year. He doesn't have to redshirt this season. Now, if he wanted to, he could say today, hey, Coach Saban, I'm going to shut this down and I'm going to go transfer and play 2 years somewhere else. But it doesn't seem like that's what he wants to do. It seems like he wants to be at Alabama this season, and then he can kind of reevaluate things after the season.
All right, so you're talking about the big matchups this weekend. You've got number 4, Ohio State, heading up to face number 9, Penn State, on Saturday night. When you look at that matchup, what sticks out to you the most?
I think it's going to be a track meet. It's two offenses that are very explosive and two defenses that have proven pretty susceptible to giving up big plays. So I think both quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins and Trace McSorley, are going to have big games. And, you know, this series, a couple years ago, it turned on a blocked field goal that Penn State returned for a touchdown. Last year, Penn State returned a kickoff for a touchdown, although Ohio State ended up winning because of probably the greatest half of JT Barrett's life. Special teams probably going to play a role. I think there's going to be some sort of special teams, you know, score or play that kind of swings this because I'm not sure either defense can stop the other offense.
Andy Staples is joining us. All right, another great matchup. You've got number 7 Stanford and number 8 Notre Dame. How do you see that game going?
This is going to be an interesting one because Stanford showed us last week in that comeback against Oregon that it can be something really different on offense than what we've seen from Stanford the past few years. You know, Stanford's been kind of a grind it out, we're going to just pound you, ram the ball right down your throat kind of team. They're not that great at that this year, but what they are really good at is chucking the ball down the field, and they've got all these tall receivers, big body guys who really just box out DBs, and KJ Costello is very good at getting the ball to them. I wonder if they start out running that kind of offense against Notre Dame, is it going to discombobulate Notre Dame enough to allow Stanford to then start feeding Bryce Love? It'll be interesting because Notre Dame is going to be the best defense they've played, and this is a game where the winner is in good position for the playoffs. The loser has a lot of work left to do.
We are covering as much ground as we can with Andy Staples in the time that we have. Listen, we're not even a month into the college football season, so I don't want to get ahead of myself or jump to any conclusions. But have you seen anybody on Alabama's schedule, going back to them for a minute, anybody on their schedule that can give them a serious problem?
No, and one of the Vegas bookmakers did a thing this week where they projected what the line would be, Alabama versus the world, essentially. There's not a team in college football that wouldn't be a double-digit underdog to Alabama. Hmm. And, I mean, it's crazy to think that, but that's where they are because their defense is about as good as it has been, which is outstanding. And then you add this dynamic quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa where their offense, which used to be kind of, not much fun to watch, now it's all of a sudden dynamic, and you feel like you can't miss a snap because every time Tua throws the ball, you think it's going to be a touchdown. So I don't know what you do with them. I mean, maybe LSU can beat them, maybe Auburn, but it's hard to imagine anybody on that regular season schedule being able to, one, score enough on them, and two, then stop that offense.
SI senior writer Andy Staples, my guest. Listen, before you go, a couple of things I really want to hit you with. You spent some time around the Texas program recently, and after the Longhorns had lost to Maryland in the season opener, there were lots of questions about where the program was headed. The questions even seemed to linger after the win over Tulsa, but then they blew out USC, they blew out TCU. So what's the vibe like around the program right now?
Everybody seems pretty happy, but I still think it's a cautious optimism because, they just have not been able to string together consistent wins. And if you look at the USC game, they were pretty good. Defensively, they've been good since last year. It's the offense that hasn't really come around. And the offense didn't have that great of a game against USC. But if you look at that TCU game, the offense moved the ball down the field when they needed it to in the second half. So if they can string a couple wins together like this, then all of a sudden, maybe they are kind of coming around. And so they got Kansas State this weekend, a team that's going to slow things down and make it a grind-it-out game. If they can grind out a win here, then they go into that Oklahoma game, and they've been competitive against them. But all of a sudden, that looks like a really different game because it's a game between two of the best teams in the Big 12.
And then finally, Andy, Scott Frost could not have come in with more buzz or more momentum when he showed up, and obviously things are not going very well. He's 0-3. Nobody thought this would be easy, Scott Frost, I'm sure, included. But do you think that he thought that it would be this tough? And where's that Nebraska team right now?
They're in trouble. I mean, they need a win this week against Purdue, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to get it. They just don't have the personnel to play the way they want to play, which is understandable because you're going from a very different style that Mike Riley played to what Scott Frost plays. But the other piece of it is when Scott Frost named Adrian Martinez the starting quarterback, and Martinez is a true freshman, Tristan Jebbia, who was supposed to be the backup, immediately transferred. And suddenly Martinez gets hurt the first game they play, and they're playing a sophomore walk-on at quarterback. They're not going to win games doing that. They need Martinez to be healthy, and the problem is they have to be cautious with him because they don't want him to get re-injured. So as Scott Frost told me when I was up there a couple weeks ago, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Mm. Senior writer for SI, an expert at SI Eats, and once again, a guy that I'm calling the busiest man at the intersection of both sports and cuisine, Andy Staples, my guest before a big college football weekend. Andy, great to have you back. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jim.
Great job, Andy. Andy Staples, all right, your thoughts on all that? We talked about the big matchups this weekend. We talked about Texas and the way they're bouncing back. We talked about Nebraska, and he just said it may get worse before it gets better. They're 0-3. They have to have a win this weekend against Purdue, and he thinks it may not happen.